Do you put that on Caleb for not being able to make plays against the blitz, Pat, or should the Bears have made a coaching adjustment in this game to make life easier on their rookie quarterback?
Well, it can go both ways, but I'm going to give you my personal experience by being a defensive back and going up against rookie quarterbacks. You always want to make it as tough as possible for them in that ball game. And what's going to make it tough for them by making the pocket muddy as possible. And Coach Ryan did not shy away from sending pressure every chance that he got, because it seemed like every time Caleb Williams dropped back, he was getting hit right in the mouth, you know. So from my experience, I was not surprised seeing how much the Houston Texans were able to pressure Caleb Williams here today. But overall, like you said, it wasn't necessarily a snooze fest. I thought it was a great competitive game from both defenses. I just think, you know, the defenses are catching up now. You know, we know that, you know, this league is an offensive league. Everybody want to see a ton of points. But I believe that a lot of the defensive coordinators have been doing a lot of deep dive studying on some of the plays that's hurting them, understanding the situations that you are in and understanding what you need to get out of that situation. So, like, in the red zone, you don't see as much cover zeros pressures anymore. You see guys playing more coverage, preventing touchdowns versus field goals. Like this week, you've seen a lot of red zone trips, but not a lot of red zone conversion into touchdowns. So that just goes to show that the defensive coordinators have been doing a really, really good job over this offseason on trying to get a hold of these offenses going into this 2024 season.
Pat, that being said, how would you assess the way Williams played in this game? Because that's probably going to be, more than anything else, what people try to analyze and break down. He's 1-1. He threw 2 interceptions, still not a lot of yards. We're seeing him try to make those plays once, and the pocket broke down a ton, and he did not have a run game. I mean, it was the Bears did not put their quarterback in a position where things were made easy for him in this game. So it was an uphill battle. But I have to ask, because we were somewhat skeptical before the game. Now, having watched him play an entire game, what your reaction is to him?
I just feel like the Bears have to do a better job of putting him in position of being into being successful. I feel like they have to do, as you know, for themselves, do a great job of self-scouting, really asking Caleb what he is really comfortable with. Because if you guys are doing things that he's not comfortable with, there's no chance that you're going to be successful. So I think that's a starting block on getting some dialogue from him. Like, what are you comfortable with? What do you like to do? What do you see yourself being successful in this offense? What type of plays do you like? So I think that's going to be a start for them, because like right now, it just looked like a deer in the headlights. There's a couple of times out there where the ball was not placed in the right position when the receivers were down the field. A couple of guys where he wanted to throw a short 5-yard out, the receiver wasn't there. He did this in the middle of the play. I thought that was a little awkward. So it just looked like he's not grasping, you know, the speed of the game and the offensive scheme thus far.
They've got a good team. I mean, their defense held Houston to 19 points. So it's not like he's on a team that's projected to win 3 or 4 games. There's potential there. And that's why I think he's on an accelerated growth rate here. He's got to be good, because the expectations are not for this to be a rebuilding year.
And I will say, if he continued to play like this, it might be a 3-4 win season, though. But they do have a really, really good team. I think he has to understand how to play within himself and really understand that you don't have to make those hero plays all the time. We know that you have the ability to do that, but I would like to see him just slowly continue to learn his way. I would like to see the offensive coordinators give him a little bit more easier reads, some high-low concepts, you know, motion receivers a little bit, help him identify what defense that he's about to face. I just see a lot of stagnant no movement on the offensive side of the ball from the Bears. And I believe if you're able to give him the answer to the test before the play actually starts by motioning guys, getting coverage identification, I think that'll also help him free him up a little bit more in the passing game as well.
Well, the Texans forced the turnovers. They only got one field goal out of those two interceptions by Williams, and had a fumble by Akers late where they should have gone in and scored. So they played offensively far from a perfect game, but they win their 2-0, and now they got a matchup with another 2-0 team next week. All right, Pat, so let's get to the rest of the games, and you touched on it with your first answer. Defense seems to be ahead of offense right now. One place where there is where that is not true offensively is New Orleans. They've scored 91 points in their first two games. That is the fourth most in NFL history. This is deja vu for Dallas. They were awful in their playoff game against Green Bay at home, and the same thing happened today against the Saints. They gave up 35 points in the first half. That had never happened in Cowboys history. I mean, just wild offensive production from New Orleans and defensive ineptitude from Dallas. So this is a game that we like to play here. In your opinion, was today's game more about what the Saints did right or what the Cowboys did wrong?
I think it was more about what the Saints did right, because if you think about it, going back into the season, it was a lot of questions about Dennis Allen, the head coach, if he was the right coach for this job. Derek Carr, is he going to be the starter? Is Clint Kubiak going to be able to get this offense in the right direction? Those guys have answered all of those questions thus far throughout the 2 weeks of the season. As you noted, 91 points throughout the first two games of the season. And then you got to go back to, like I said, Dennis Allen. You know, we had a lot of questions about him as well. And we all know that he's a defensive-minded head coach. And right now his defense is humming. They're playing with their hair on fire right now with four interceptions, creating a bunch of pressure on the quarterback, getting some sacks in there as well. So I would have to say with the way the New Orleans Saints played, I would have to go with the New Orleans Saints with everything that they did right here Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys.
I want to agree with you because I think that Kubiak is so far been a huge upgrade at offensive coordinator. We obviously know his background. He was spent a year in San Francisco. His dad, you know, he's got great NFL bloodlines. And I do think what he's done with Derek Carr, I see a more aggressive Derek Carr, Pat. He's pushing the ball downfield more than he did in his first year there, which was a colossal disappointment. Kamara looks almost like a Christian McCaffrey to me with the way they're using him. He had four touchdowns today, so it was a throwback game for him. And, yeah, their defense, guys like Davis, Jordan, Honey Badger. I mean, they've got guys that have been around forever that are making plays. And the corner didn't even play today. What's his name? Their number one corner. Yes, Lattimore, thank you, was out. And Kool-Aid McKinstry stepped up and played well.
Played a big game.
Yes, he did. But
yeah, he played a huge game.
It's just when you go home after that horrible playoff loss last year and you've won 16 straight regular season games and the whole season with the Cowboys is getting to that next level, NFC championship, competing for a Super Bowl, man, you can't lay a friggin' egg like this, because all it does is invite questions and criticisms and concerns about your ability to handle big moments and in big games. And they didn't again. And, you know, it amps the pressure on Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer's replacing Dan Quinn, who was one of the best defensive play callers in the entire league. They got punked today. They got embarrassed. And that's bad for any NFL team. It's made even worse when you're the Cowboys and there's a bullseye on your back at all times. So I always wonder with them, because of the amount of scrutiny, are they built to handle it? How do they deal with the fact that everyone gets up for them, that they're such a polarizing team? And I don't know if they passed the test in Cleveland as much as the Browns failed it. And today at home, they're playing a team that's better than everybody thought, but it was just a putrid performance and one that harkens back to what they did last year. Hmm. All right, next up, Bengals and Chiefs. This game was a classic. When these two teams play, Pat, they're always close games. Yeah. But Here's my issue with this game today. Jamar Chase lost his mind and got called for a personal foul because he's going after the officials. He gets grabbed by McDuffie. There's no call. Burrow has to calm him down. Taylor, McPherson goes out and kicks a field goal. It ends that drive. Maybe they score a touchdown. Who knows if that gets called. Okay, so it doesn't. But then Kansas City gets the pass interference call that sets up their game-winning field goal. And as a fan and not a player like you, my issue in these situations is always when I feel like one team gets a call and the other team does it, and the officiating is not consistent. If you're going to call it one way, call it both, or don't call it either way. And that's what ticked me off about this game. And I just feel like, anecdotally, the Chiefs always get these breaks, man. They got it in the Super Bowl 2 years ago with the defensive holding when they called it against Juju and they kicked the field goal. And they got, I think, a break that helped them win the game today. So, you know, am I wrong for saying that this game basically came down to a decision by the officials? Because that's how it felt like to me watching it.
Nah, I think you're wrong. I don't think this game came down to the officials. Yeah, it seems like the Kansas City Chiefs always find a way to get a break. But no, that was the right call on both of those plays. You know, Jamar Chase, he was frustrated about the tackle, which I thought was a clean tackle. It wasn't a hip drop tackle.
Yeah.
You know, it was close to being a face mask or a horse collar or whatever you wanted to call it. But that goes back to what we talked about last week. I guarantee you, if Jamar Chase was signed by now, that situation wouldn't have happened by him going ballistic or on the ref, by him thinking that he got hip drop tackled or horse collar, whatever the case may be.
Because he's thinking, if he gets injured and I'm out for a while, I'm going to cost myself money instead of the contract being done, is what you're saying.
Exactly. But and then in the pass interference, that was the right call. The safety got there just a tad bit too early, a rookie mistake. And it cost them. You know, it wasn't those plays right there should not have been put in the referee's hands. If that makes sense. The Jamar Chase play shouldn't have been put in the ref hands, and the pass interference shouldn't have been put in the ref hands. I understand that it always seemed like the Chiefs get calls their way, but those were the right calls.
All right, so you're saying today I'm wrong, but generally speaking, do you think that Kansas City gets the 50-50 calls for the most part? Am I wrong about that too?
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong about generally getting, you know, calls, like favorable calls. I won't say like refs are going out and saying, oh, we're going to, you know, give the Kansas City Chiefs this call. If it's tight, if they, you know, they get favorable calls. No, if that's the proper answer to say, I won't say that refs are going out there, you know.
No, but it's like LeBron or Michael Jordan driving to the basket. If there's contact, they're going to give those guys the benefit.
Exactly. So that's what I mean by the favorable call. You know, they're the two-time champs, you know, looking for a three-peat, you know, so they, you know, some calls going to go their way. But those calls today, those were fair calls. It wasn't.
It's annoying because I don't think they've played really a good game yet. I mean, Mahomes only threw for 150 yards and two interceptions, and they're 2-0. And their defense, again, finds ways. They pick up that Burrow fumble, and they score. And honestly, their defense, I think, won them a Super Bowl last year. And I think it's got them 2-0 right now, Pat. And everybody doesn't gloss over it all the way, but it just gets second fiddle to Mahomes and Kelsey and everything else because of what those guys have been in their careers.
I agree with you 100%. Even going back, like you said, you know, that the Kansas City Chiefs defense won them the Super Bowl last year. It goes all the way back to the second half of the football season of last year, you know, of holding their opponents to 16 and a half points, you know, going on that playoff run and winning the Super Bowl. So the defense has been playing lights out for over 8 months now, you know, leading back into the second half of last year's season. So Coach Steve got those guys. I mean, he's always going to have some type of exotic blitz. He's always going to find a way to take away your best, you know, your best threat and force you to beat you with their left hand. And that's what they do consistently week in and week out. And that's how they're able to win ball games on a consistent basis.
Bengals are 0-2. The last 5 years, their week one and week two records combined 1-9. They are so bad to start seasons, and they didn't get any help from the schedule makers having to go to Arrowhead in week two, but 0-2 is 0-2, and they're back in that hole again this year. All right, two games that were good games that I think have similar themes here and storylines, Pat. Bucks, Lions, 49ers, Vikings. Tampa goes to Detroit and wins, and they hold Detroit under 20. Minnesota hosts San Francisco. They hold the Niners under 20 points. So the two favorites to win the NFC Championship in last year's title game both lost today. Both offenses were held in check. Which offensive performance would you be more concerned by? Detroit against Tampa at home, or what San Francisco couldn't do in Minnesota today?
That's a great question, because both of those guys went up against some really, really stout defenses. You know, Tampa Bay is a top 10 defense under Todd Bowles. And San Francisco, no matter who their defensive coordinator is, they always tend seem to be a top unit across the board. But I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions. And here's why. Detroit Lions have, you know, they was one of the hottest offenses in the league last year. And up until this point, the first 2 weeks of the season, it seemed like the offense is kind of stuttering right now. They have moments, but they have not been as consistent of moving the ball up and down the field as they was able to do last year. So my concerns are with the Detroit Lions right now, just with, you know, their lack of ability to move the ball consistently as they were able to do last year. But hopefully, you know, Coach Campbell will get those guys moving in the right direction here pretty soon, because I feel this is a very, very competitive division that they're in the NFC North, with Minnesota being 2-0, Green Bay finding a way to win today, and obviously Chicago is a young, greedy football team as well. So they're going to have to get their act together here pretty soon if they want to be where they were last year in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, Detroit's the right answer. The 49ers did this last year, too. They went in on a Monday night to Minnesota and lost to the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. They did not have McCaffrey today. I mean, that part is scary. When is that guy going to come back? And I know that Mason had 100 yards, but the dual threat ability of McCaffrey, him catching the ball out of the backfield. Ayuk, too, you can tell that missing all that time, he is not right yet. He only had 4 catches. So once I think he gets more acclimated, having missed training camp in the preseason, I think that he'll figure it out. And, you know, Trent Williams too. I mean, there's just a lot of players for San Francisco that did not do any of the football training stuff that I think eventually will get back to what they are known for, which is being, you know, elite players. Detroit's whole game plan today, I just don't understand it, Pat. I mean, we saw them last Sunday night. They didn't run the ball well in the first half, and then instead of doing it better in the second half, they just said, we're not going to run it, and they only went back to the run in overtime, and that's why they beat the Rams with Montgomery. Today, Goff threw it 55 times.
I know.
You've got the best offensive line in football. You're not getting blown out. What are you doing having him drop back 55 times? By the way, Goff was not great. He threw 2 more interceptions. His whole MO is he's a dome quarterback and not a bad weather quarterback. I think he struggled to start the year. 2 interceptions. St. Brown had a monster game, but Laporta only had 2 catches. I'm flummoxed why they went away from the run. And it's not like Tampa Bay had their big run stuffers. Vita Vea didn't play in the game. Kalijah Kancey didn't play in the game. Winfield didn't play in the game. I don't get that part. And Johnson almost got NFL head coaching looks, Pat, but that to me has got to change for them moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Those two games are down. Let's get to the Seahawks and Patriots. New England, this game went to overtime. New England's been very plucky here. They've shown moxie and balls in these first two games. They could have easily won today if not for a Seattle blocked field goal that kept the lead at three. Seattle came down, tied it, and then won the game in overtime. Pat, how is it possible that the Patriots actually look better without the greatest coach of all time in Bill Belichick through two games?
Because they have a Bill Belichick disciple in Coach Mayo. You know, Coach Mayo not only coached under Bill Belichick for, I believe, three seasons, he also played under Bill Belichick and played on some Super Bowl teams. You know, so he had the opportunity to get both worlds as a player and as a coach, far as how to prepare a team, what are the principles on how to orchestrate victory, meaning having quality quarterback play, not turning the ball over, time of possession, having awesome special team play, which New England always have, minus that block field goal today, mm-hmm. And just play stout defense. You know, that's the recipe for winning, and that's the Patriots way. And he learned from one of, if not the best head coach to ever do it, you know. So, you know, he's been around, you know, and been around and played a lot of great football. And now he's just displaying, you know, everything that he was able to learn as a player and as a coach under Coach Bill Belichick.
But it does feel to me like there's a new energy there. Things got a little stale under Belichick, and they seem like they're revitalized under Mayo, Pat.
Yeah, sometimes you need a new face. Sometimes you need a new face, new voice to kind of change things around, new vision. You know, sometimes that the old school way is not the best way sometimes, you know, because nowadays the NFL team average roster is, what, 24 years old? You know, Coach Bill is, what, 80-something, if I'm not mistaken? You know, so I don't know if there was
the relatability of him being a former player too, and a good one.
Mm-hmm. Being able to relate to the guys may have been a little stale, but now having a guy who's not only been in the locker room as a player, speaking of Coach Mayo as a head coach, now that you have a guy that's not only been in the line of fire as the guys are, his players are, he's been on the other side as well. So he wants the best for you, and he understands how to get the best out of you. You know, so the guys, you can just tell the guys love playing for him. And those guys go out there with a attitude and an objective on their mind that they're going to win the football game.
Probably say the same thing about Seattle. They're 2-0 without Pete Carroll, who's a borderline Hall of Fame coach. And Geno Smith had another big game today, threw for over 300 yards in Seattle's win.